Tuxford's Sister, Napier, New Zealand, September 4, 1893. My dear Sister Tuxford, I have just returned from church, spoke to them upon the subject Christ riding into Jerusalem. We had a goodly number of outsiders. I have spoken 5 times in Napier and 4 times in Hastings. The Lord gave me freedom in speaking. I praise His holy name. I can walk with convenience to and from the church. The churches are being helped and blessed. I suppose Willie has been with you over the Sabbath. We were grateful to learn where he was, and thankful the sea trip is in the past, for I do not think it enjoyable for him to take steerage passage. I am not able to have my teeth yet for some weeks, but I cannot forbear speaking, so I have gone to work without them, which I never thought or expected to do. You can feel assured I shall feel highly gratified to have them. I sent you a letter last Friday. We hope you and your mother are well and happy, enjoying the gracious influence of the Spirit of God. I see much work to be done in this country, and long for money and laborers, that it can be carried forward. Every energy ought to be put into use to raise the debt from the meeting house in Napier. It can and should be done. There are enough to do it if all will act their part, and there is no excuse why this debt should linger. God is not pleased with this slipshod way of doing business. Oh, for the converting power of God to get hold of young and old, that they may see the Lord's business cannot be executed in a loose manner. It must all be firmly bound and in a workmanlike manner. I cannot but think of the donation from Sister Martha, and the money which she borrowed to give the donation and is not paid yet. I feel burdened over such matters. I feel so thankful the end is near. All the burden of my message has been the near coming of Christ, and the necessary preparation of each individual that they may meet Him with joy and not with grief. Everything that can be done should be done to awake the slumbering, that each human agent should have his lamp trimmed and burning. We have no time to lose. We must employ every talent to work while the day lasts, for the night cometh in which no man can work. Every entrusted capability is now to be brought into active service. I have been feeling very solemnly over the state of things in this country, which we seem to have no power to relieve. Truth is progressive, but when there is no door opened where the truth should find an entrance, then what can be done? There are quite a number of Sabbath keepers in Hastings, but no place of worship. I know, from what we have seen in the past, souls would be added to the church of such as will be saved, but again, there is no place to worship in Havelock. No house can be obtained to make an attempt to hold forth the word of life. There are souls in that place that will receive the truth if they could only hear it, but every entrance is closed. Personal effort will need to be made. It is the only way now. An attempt was made to hire a hall, the only one in the place, but a school teacher exerted his influence so it should not be done. He stated that he had been informed that Seventh-day Adventists did not believe in the divinity of Christ. He was assured to the contrary. Well, he said he did not want them to come to that place, so the door was closed. I called upon all in Napier, both young and old, to practice economy and to lay by something wherewith they could do something for the cause and work of God, and this was obligatory upon them. The Lord would not excuse them if they devoted the means the Lord had entrusted to them to advance His cause and His work in self-pleasing, or in making Christmas presents to their relations and friends. Every exertion was to be made to present to the Lord our thank offerings and our gifts of the great gift He had made to the world in sending Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Dear Sister, the gifts and offerings which ought to find their way into the Lord's treasury have been diverted into human channels. I presented to the church how important it was that a change should be made in our customs, habits, and practices in this direction. Especially Christmas gifts should be made to Him who has made such infinite sacrifice to save fallen man. I think professed Christians have been asleep as far as showing their obligations to God, who has purchased them at so great a cost to Himself, even His only Son. Well, think how must the Father, the world's Redeemer, and the heavenly angels look down upon human inconsistencies, our offerings and gifts bestowed upon relations and human friends, who will not return $1 of the same to aid in advancing the truth and building up the cause of God in our world. Custom and practices must change. Inclinations and feelings must be of a different character in the future, if God is to be glorified. If all these little rills were set flowing into the treasury of God, there would be a reservoir that would flow into consecrated channels. Saith God, "Them that honor me will I honor." 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. If we honor human friends because we have considered this is the channel that our gifts and offerings and entrusted talents should flow into, we meet with loss every time, for we will receive no reward. We do not lay up our treasure in the heavens in bags that wax old. Everyone should make God and His cause their first consideration. As Christ was given to our world to die a cruel death to save perishing souls, to those who are made free by the gift of God's dear Son, He paid the price of His own blood and suffering to secure our willing service and cooperation in being laborers together with God to put into use every talent to be employed in the saving of souls for whom Christ has died. He has committed to us trusts. Do we feel all we possess is a loan from Christ? That the food provided for our sustenance is alone all that we can claim, or is granted us through Jesus Christ? He has made us stewards of His grace, custodians of the Master's goods, and the lowliest talents, the humblest service, may become a consecrated gift if exercised and employed with the high aim of doing our Master's service and promoting His glory. The more learning of talents and of money, instead of releasing us of obligations, only increases and intensifies our responsibilities. The question is not, "What have I of the Lord's?" but, "What am I doing with what He has graciously entrusted to my stewardship?" All we have is the Lord's. He has purchased us, soul, body, and spirit. Our time, our gifts, and offerings are to be laid on God's altar. Human inclinations and desires are not to control in this matter, and if heart, soul, body, and life were consecrated to God, and, with all the goods He has entrusted us with, were laid at His feet as consecrated gifts, they would be acceptable and accomplish much good. Oh, how much robbery has been committed against God by the human calculation of misused goods! Christ the Great Shepherd laid down His life for His sheep. He calleth them all by name. Every human is called to give an account of his entrusted talents. He came to him who had doubled his number. When it was put out to the exchangers, "Well done," is the commendation, "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Matthew 25, verse 21. His own character is open to them. If we will make the most of our Lord's goods, we will make the most of our time and opportunities. We know not how long or how brief will be our allotted time. Occupy till I come. All depends upon the use we make of our present opportunities, our entrusted talents. Luke 19, verse 13. Every entrusted talent is a loan not to be degraded to selfish use, but to be employed in doing good. There must be no selfish extravagance, no misuse or misapplication of the Lord's goods. The talents, be they small or great, must be used to the glory of God. The demand will come from the owner. "What use have you made of my goods?" We have the Lord's property by grace. Christ has purchased all. The interest required will be according to the entrusted capital, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. May the Lord make us wise unto salvation. I did not expect to write thus, but as the thoughts flowed into my mind, I have written them. Now, if you could copy this and send it to whom you choose, whom you think would be benefited, you are at liberty to do so. Send me a copy. I have had so much speaking to do, and going back and forth from Hastings and Napier, we have not had much time to write. Emily is full of work, or else I would have her copy this. With much love to yourself and your mother.